Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
Over the next week, we're going to talk about the massive congressional tax bill in some manageable chunks. We're beginning today with what's happening to mortgage deductions. Here's where we're at. The House bill would cap interest deduction on mortgages of $500,000. And the deduction would only apply to your primary residence. The Senate would keep the mortgage interest deduction cap at $1 million, but you would not be able to deduct for equity borrowing. There's much more to understand about this, which is why we've invited Daniel Hemmel to the show. He's an assistant professor of law at the University of Chicago, where he studies tax law, and he's with us today from Chicago. And Daniel, welcome. It's really good to have you on the show.
Great to be here.
For our listeners, if you have questions specifically about mortgage interest deductions, this is a good opportunity to call in. 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828. Questions about how it stands now, how this massive House and Senate tax bill may change that. Maybe some questions about what you ought to do about that. 651-227-6000 and on Twitter at @CarrieMPR. Daniel, I thought it would be valuable to compare and contrast the current mortgage deduction law. As I noted, right now we're allowed to deduct interest on mortgages up to $1 million. Is that correct?
Yes, effectively $1.1 million for married couples because they can count $100,000 as home equity interest.
Okay, that's only on a primary residence or is that on multiple mortgages?
You can deduct on two homes, but the cap is going to be $1.1 million.
Okay, the Senate keeps that $1 million in place. The House drops it by half to $500,000. Doesn't that mean that some middle-class homeowners who are in high housing value areas are going to lose something that they've been able to deduct for a long time?
Yes, for two reasons. First, some households will be affected by the switch from $1 million to $500,000 if that element of the House version goes through. We don't know yet whether the mortgage provisions in the final bill will reflect the House version or the Senate version. But I think there's a more fundamental change going on, which is that the personal exemptions that you can now claim regardless of whether you itemize your deductions or you take the standard deduction are being rolled into the standard deduction, and the standard deduction is increasing from $12,700 for a married couple to $24,000. That means you're only going to want to itemize your deductions if your itemized deductions exceed $24,000.
I see. Okay.
And it's going to be less likely that you get there because of the partial or full repeal of the state and local tax deduction. So there will be a lot of people who used to claim the mortgage interest deduction who technically still could, but they're not going to because of the larger standard deduction.
So I think I hear you also saying there will be fewer Americans who itemize because this is changing, because this is going to be taken away for some people. But as you say, they double the standard deduction. Have I got that right?
Yes. And that's, I think, the most dramatic effect on homeowners. So right now, about a third of all Americans claim itemized deductions, more than 40% of married couples who file jointly do. That's going to drop to the single digits because of the higher standard deduction and because of the elimination of the deduction for state and local taxes. So chances are, if you claim the mortgage interest deduction now, you will not be claiming the mortgage interest deduction under the House or Senate bill, even if your loan is less than $500,000.
Oh, okay, really good to know. To the phones here, to Nick in Roseville. Hi, Nick, your question for Daniel. Hi, Nick, are you there? Nick, try us back. Your phone's cutting in and out. Let me grab a call here from Eric in Minneapolis. Hi, Eric.
Hi, good morning.
Morning. What do you want to know from Nick, from Daniel Hemmel?
I had a question regarding if either the House or Senate bill impacts the way mortgage interest deduction can be used on business properties, particularly rental properties, if there's any impact there given what we know today.
It looks like you will still be able to deduct mortgage interest on your rental property. And depending on which version we get, if we get something like the Senate bill, you might be able to be eligible for a lower tax rate on your rental income, a significantly lower tax rate.
So why, you would get is that,
a 23%
Daniel?
Reduction for your rental income.
Why?
Because there's a new provision in both the House and the Senate bills that is styled as affecting pass-throughs, but it really affects anyone who has trade or business income other than income from the performance of services as an employee. So if you're an independent contractor, if you're a freelancer, a babysitter, you mow lawns, you drive for Uber, or you rent out part of your home or a rental property, you'll be eligible for this nice new deduction.
Nick in Roseville wanted to ask, Daniel, I think I've got the gist of this. Is the cap for the amount of the mortgage or the amount you can deduct on your taxes? It's the amount of the mortgage, isn't it?
It's the amount of the mortgage.
Okay. When Republican leaders say that this is going to simplify tax filing, and it sounds like you agree with that assessment, just to be clear, you do.
It will make life easier for people who used to claim itemized deductions and now claim the standard deduction a little bit. Though totaling up your itemized deductions was never the hard part about doing taxes. You would keep track of your charitable contributions over the course of the year. You would get a statement from your mortgage lender. You would know what you paid in state and local taxes. But there will be a lot of uncertainty created by new provisions in the code. So my guess is for most Americans doing their taxes in for tax year 2018 is going to be more complicated than for tax year 2017.
So is that that's just trying to understand what's in this massive bill and then that will smooth out in later years, or this whole idea of, you know, you can file very quickly and you're not going to need a tax preparer is not necessarily true for many people?
I think there are very few people who are using TurboTax now or H&R Block or an accountant who are going to be able to do this without an accountant, and probably some people moving in the other direction. So one reason why is this new pass-through provision, which affects everyone who's not an employee,
right?
Has a carve-out for what is described in the Senate bill as reasonable compensation. And the tax world is trying to figure out what that language means. But one thought is, well, if you have a pass-through business or you're a sole proprietor, you're a freelancer, you own a store, you're supposed to now pay yourself a salary and not claim the deduction for that.
Mm.
But figuring out how much to pay yourself for working for yourself is really difficult. And even if
right.
you can do your taxes now with TurboTax, you might need an accountant to figure that out.
Daniel Hemmel is with us if you've just tuned in. He's an assistant professor of law at the University of Chicago. He studies tax law. We asked him to help us do something for a week or so that we're trying to break off chunks of this massive House and Senate tax bill. And of course, they're going into conference committee to find some agreement between the differences in the bill. But we want to try to understand some of the biggest changes that are happening. And it's so big that we thought it might be more easily manageable if we looked at some of these individual issues. Today, Daniel is helping us with what is changing about the mortgage interest deduction. The caps are changing, the implications perhaps for borrowing for equity. And I'm going to ask Dan about that in just a second. And if you have questions about it, 651-227-6000. 800-242-2828 and on Twitter at @CarrieNPR. Bill in Malacca called to say, Dan, if the standard deduction doubles to $24,000 for a married couple, if I don't have to itemize, I see that as a gain. That makes doing my taxes easier, with the caveat, as you said, that there are other complicating factors in the bill.
It makes your life slightly easier, but TurboTax or any tax preparation software is going to figure out your itemized deductions pretty quickly for you if, like most Americans who itemize, your three main deductions are state and local taxes, charitable contributions, and mortgage interest. One thing that I would like to add is the shift from $12,700 to $24,000 is not as good as it initially seems.
Okay, why?
Because it is in tandem with the elimination of personal exemptions. So right now, you get to claim a deduction of $4,050 for each member of your household, including yourself.
Right.
And that's going away. So it used to be that for a family of four, with those four personal exemptions and the $12,700 standard deduction, they basically had a 0% bracket. They didn't pay taxes on their first $28,900 of income. That actually falls to $24,000. So their standard deduction goes up, but they're hurt more by the elimination of personal exemptions than they're helped by the doubling of the standard deduction.
Okay, we have a question about the deduction to Robert in Golden Valley. Hi, Robert. What do you want to know about that?
Well, I want to know if the doubling of the standard deduction goes away if you try to still deduct mortgage money and charities and other things, medical expenses, because my standard, my mortgage rate or tax rate is the same amount as they're talking about doubling the standard.
Daniel, does that make sense to you?
Yes, that's a great point. If you are itemizing your deductions, then the doubling of the standard deduction doesn't help you at all. Additionally, you're hurt by the elimination of personal exemptions. Under current law, you can claim the personal exemptions regardless of whether you take the standard deduction or you itemize your deduction. But now those personal exemptions are going away for everyone. So this is bad news for folks, especially folks with, say, a couple of kids who have large mortgages, large property tax bills, or are very charitable and claim a large amount in charitable contribution deductions.
A call here from Zach in Eden Prairie. Hi, Zach. It sounds like a question about the standard deduction again. Yes?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The question is this. The standard deduction now versus itemizing with your mortgage and with a new child. So there's a first year, first baby. How's that going to play?
So the child tax credit that you're going to be able to claim, which is going to be somewhere between $1,600 and $2,000, is a credit, not a deduction. So it's actually worth 100 cents on the dollar to you. And it's going to be worth that regardless of whether you claim the standard deduction or you itemize your deductions. So having a child is unlikely to affect your decision to itemize or to take the standard deduction.
Daniel, as you may know, the National Association of Realtors issued this report saying that Minnesota home buyers and a few others are going to be most affected among other states. Do you have a sense of why? And of course, we should say that the NAR does not support these changes to the law.
So there are a few factors that are going to affect Minnesotans. One is just the lowering of the cap on the mortgage interest deduction, if that happens. And there are plenty of homes in the Twin Cities area and elsewhere in Minnesota that are worth more than $500,000. Second, it's a state where a lot of people right now itemize and will cease itemizing and therefore cease to have this tax incentive for buying home with mortgage, buying homes with mortgage loans.
Okay.
And my sense is that Minnesotans are slightly more likely to itemize because I believe Minnesotans are more charitable than the national average.
That is true.
Third, Minnesotans pay property taxes, and those property taxes are causing a lot of homeowners to itemize who will be affected by these changes.
Do you have a sense of what's going to happen to home values?
I think most of us expect home values will decline for a few reasons. One, there's a tax incentive now to own your own home. And that drives up the price of single-family homes. And that is largely, not entirely, but largely going away. It's going to go away because of the rollback of the property tax deduction and because there will be fewer people who are claiming the mortgage interest deduction. A second thing that's happening is the tax benefits for selling your own home are going to go down relative to current law. So right now, if you live in your home for 2 out of the last 5 years, you get to exclude your first $500,000 in capital gain on the sale of your residence from income. That's a really nice tax benefit. Some people will still get that under the House and Senate bills, but the House and Senate bills require you to live there for 5 out of 8 years instead of 2 out of 5 years. So this means that the tax advantage of owner-occupied real estate is really diminishing significantly.
Call here from Andy in Minneapolis. Hi, Andy. Your question.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes. I'm a realtor in Minneapolis, and I was actually just going to discuss what your host was just was talking about regarding that capital gains issue. One thing I've noticed in the Twin Cities market with starter homes is right now the inventory is basically at record lows. And some of the buyers I've been showing around lately, particularly in the under $300,000 range, mm-hmm. I've noticed that the last time those houses were sold was like in the past 3 or 4 years. So I am wondering if this new tax bill is going to tighten the real estate market even further because of people that might hold off on selling. We have a fast appreciating real estate market that allows people to sell in 3 or 4 years. And even with that, we have a very tight supply of homes in the Twin Cities right now.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if when this passes, the people who would previously have sold are gonna sit.
What do you think, Daniel?
That's a great point. I think one of the reasons why the National Association of Realtors opposed this legislation is precisely that. We're going to see fewer home sales. Now, that might do something to counteract the effect on home prices because as inventory goes down, while one supply goes down, price tends to go up. But we'll see fewer home sales because, right now, if you've been in your home for more than 24 months, you can sell it, take this gain, and exclude that gain from income. But now you've got to hang on for an extra 36 months in order to be able to claim that exclusion for the sale of a principal residence. So there's going to be a really strong incentive for people in markets with rising real estate prices to stay where they are for a little bit longer so that they can get this tax benefit that they used to be able to get after 2 years.
I wanted to ask you about the property tax deduction being capped at $10,000. And I saw a statistic that said that the average property tax deduction is around $7,000. So how many people is this really going to affect?
Lots.
Okay.
And the reason is because there will be so many fewer people who are itemizing their deductions. So if you've got a modest property tax bill, let's say you've got a $5,000 property tax bill, and I know that doesn't feel modest, and you've paid down your mortgage, and you don't have any extraordinary medical expenses, then you're going to be claiming the standard deduction. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be getting any benefit for property taxes paid unless your charitable contributions bring you above $24,000. So that means there's no tax benefit for paying your state and local property taxes.
Yeah.
And yes, it's nice to have the higher standard deduction, but you're losing those personal exemptions at the same time.
Yeah. By the way, that state and local taxes, removing that as a deduction, we're talking about that early next week. And that's a big deal in a high tax state like Minnesota. Is it a big deal in Illinois?
It is a big deal in Illinois. Our top rate is, I believe, lower than yours. It's 4.95%, but it's a flat rate, so it applies to virtually all of your income.
Daniel, this was super helpful. I can't thank you enough. Really appreciate
it. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later.
Daniel Hemmel is assistant professor of law at the University of Chicago, where he studies tax law. Taking apart the huge House and Senate tax bill into manageable chunks, tomorrow we're going to talk about this grad school implication and education as a whole, and then state and local taxes next week.